Oh, Father, we come before you anticipating your word. Lord, we think we know a lot, and then we come to your word, and every week as I get into your word, you teach and you show so much greater things than what I already know. So we come anticipating, Lord, and come with anticipation into your word. Teach us, we pray, by your Spirit, awaken us to the glory of Jesus this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Does the name Ann Sullivan ring a bell to anyone? Ann Sullivan. I know, Miss Kitty, you know her. An avid reader. Ann Sullivan was one that I read when I was in probably 8th or 9th grade. I read the story of Helen Keller. And if you... that name doesn't ring a bell. Helen Keller was born blind and deaf and was unable to communicate because she couldn't hear and she couldn't see. And Sullivan came along and found a way to communicate with this young lady that was an outcast, a lady that was just seen as someone who was trouble and a burden. And Helen Keller, as many of you have known and read some of the things that she has written and put together, is a brilliant mind. That brilliant mind was trapped in a body that could not communicate. But Ann Sullivan found a way to communicate with her, and Helen Keller was no longer silent. She was able to communicate to the world around her and give to us the great gift of wisdom that she has given in many areas to us. Helen Keller was not silent because Ann Sullivan took the time to learn her and to know her and to communicate with her. Christians, our God is not silent. Our God is not silent in any form or fashion. In fact, he will make the rocks and does make the rocks cry out the praises of his name every day. And you can go to the Grand Canyon and see the proclamation loudly and clearly that our God is not silent. In specific revelation by his word, he is very clear. And this morning, I look forward to getting into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and looking at a very interesting part of passage, transition that Paul is making into spiritual gifts and ways in which the Lord is communicating with the world who he is. If you have your Bible, I want to invite you to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We will have the words on the screen behind you, but it's always good to have your copy of God's Word with you so you can look around, read ahead, read behind, make sure context is... we're all understanding context together. If you haven't been with us, we're walking through the book of 1 Corinthians. Last week we looked at fellowship and in some ways compared the Lord's Supper and the way that we come together in fellowship to a good old Louisiana crawfish boil, with no disrespect intended to the Lord's Supper, but the idea that people come together to fellowship and the purpose is for each other. That is the idea of the Lord's Supper. It is not that we're putting something in our mouth, but it is that we are fellowshipping as a body together, knowing that we care for one another and that we are part together. That is what we looked at last week. We looked at every time that we do that, we are re-proclaiming that we have committed ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is a vow renewal. Yes, Jesus, I'm committed to proclaiming the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. Well, then Paul transitions here, and we have nice little chapters. Of course, he didn't, but he begins to transition into spiritual gifts, and that's how he begins chapter 12. So if you're with me, say amen. Amen. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Paul moves to another area of the church. We've looked at authority in the church. We've looked at fellowship in the church just in the 11th chapter. And as I remind you, This book of 1 Corinthians is a way of Paul redirecting some of the teaching that's been happening in the church. We've seen him through the first 10 chapters, really, calling out things that there have been problems within the church, instructing them, centering them around Jesus Christ, and that all that we're doing are together, all that we're doing together is for the glory of Jesus Christ. We use our bodies for the glory of Jesus Christ, chapter 6. We discipline brothers and sisters for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's chapter 5. Chapter 3, we have a new covenant of God revealing himself to us. And we understand that it is now a relationship in which we know God and that we are born again through the blood of Jesus Christ rather than trying to keep a list of commands to please God. We are pleasing through his Son. He's gone through all of these things and now he gets to spiritual gifts. And the premise this morning, if you want to understand, will be given to us in verse 2 and in verse 3. But I don't want to get there quite yet because I want us to see why he's doing things, why Paul's doing things the way he's doing them. Look at the key of chapter 1. I do not want you to be what, church? I do not want you to be what? Uninformed. There it is at the end of the verse. I don't want you to be uninformed. In other words, I want to give you instruction so that you can do things properly. I coach a junior high girls basketball team, and I really love coaching the team, love the girls on the team. We have a great, great time together. But I spend a good bit of my time not out there making shots for them, not out there running around and stealing the ball from them or for them. As a coach, where am I spending most of my time? Instructing the young ladies, this is how you shoot. This is how we run the defense. This is how we pass the ball. This is how we run the offense. This is the goal of the game, are to do these things. I am an instructor as much as anything else on that basketball team. Here is Paul coming and saying, I don't want you to be uninstructed. I don't want you to be uninformed. God is a God who speaks. And you need to know why he is speaking and how he speaks to the world through you and through his word. And that's when we get to verse 2. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. Now I want you, as we read through these next two verses, to look at the references that Paul has to speaking or to not speaking. Right here we have a direct reference to a mute idol. What does it mean if something is mute? It's that button that we push to turn the TV all the way down. Mute means it's silent. You know that when you were pagans, when you were not believers, when you were not disciples of Jesus Christ, you were led away to mute idols. In other words, nobody expected to walk up to that Baal or that Athena or that Zeus statue and expect them to talk to them. They are mute. These false gods that people were seeking were silent. They did not speak. However you were led. Verse 3. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking, there's another reference, speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, there it is again, Jesus is Lord except in what? In the Holy Spirit. Here is Paul telling the church at Corinth, when you were not Christians, you followed speechless, mute gods or false gods, these idols. But now you are following a God who speaks. And praise the Lord, church, we serve a God who speaks. He is not silent. He has not just set things out there and hoped we'd find him. We serve a God who is very clear and who has spoken loudly and clearly, most clearly, through his Son, Jesus Christ. God has not hidden himself from us. He has revealed himself to us in his Son. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 talks about how he has spoken to us in these last days through his Son. He used prophets throughout history, but now the most clear and proper way for him to speak is through his Son. And church, I want you to know we treasure the Word of God. We treasure the Bible because it helps us to know one thing. And it is the Son of God, the revelation of God Himself. They're just words on a page if they don't help us know God. And for many people across this world, they're just words on a page. But Christian, we don't know them as words on a page. We know them as the Word of God because it reveals to us who Jesus is. God is not silent. Amen? Look specifically what he says in verse 3. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. Not only does God speak to us, but guess what? The Lord also does. He speaks, that's right, Miss Shirley, he speaks through us. Not only does God speak to us by His Word, by all of creation, most specifically by His Son, Jesus Christ, in human form on this earth, He speaks to us. But here we see Paul instructing the church that the Lord speaks through us. And how does He do that? It's right there in verse 3. Somebody tell me. How does the Lord speak through us? Through His Spirit. His Spirit speaks through us. And look what he says specifically here. And look what he says to the church at Corinth. He says, no one will say by the Spirit of God that Jesus is accursed. As God has filled us with his Holy Spirit, the last thing that the Spirit of God ever wants to see is shame upon the name of Jesus. And so Paul is being very clear. Hey, Corinthians, you will never hear someone shaming or cursing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit of God. It does not happen. And if you are hearing that, saying that, or hearing people say that in some way Jesus is not God or Jesus is not who he says he was, and look, people will knock on your door and tell you Jesus is great, but he's not God. They are saying Jesus, in effect, is not who he said he was, and he is accursed. And the scripture tells us that is not in the Spirit of God. He does not operate in that way. But look at the converse side as well. No one can say what? Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Why would Paul add that? We can understand, yeah, nobody who's a Christian who is filled with God's Spirit is going to say, Jesus is accursed, or I don't like Jesus, or Jesus isn't God, or maybe there's more than Jesus. We can understand that part. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says, oh yeah, and let me make sure you're aware as well. I want you to be informed that no one can say Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't think Paul is necessarily speaking of just the words, because people can lie and deceive and trick and say Jesus is Lord a lot and not be Christian. We all know that, and you've all seen that. So what is Paul speaking of here? He is saying no one can confess and make a true confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, except be the Holy Spirit upon them. And this goes back to what we see in the rest of Scripture. The rebirth, being born again, being made new. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm sorry, chapter 5. He talks about this being a new creation. That doesn't come apart from the Spirit making us alive in Jesus Christ. So the whole verse together says this: therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Notice what the believers are saying. This is important. And there's a battle and a struggle here. The power of the world against the power of the Spirit of God. And notice that their message is diametrically opposed here. That means exactly opposite. What is the message of the world, church? Jesus is accursed. I don't want Jesus. I don't want him so much that I'm going to redefine him. I'll call him Jesus, but I'm going to change him from what the Scripture teaches. I don't like the real Jesus. Or they call Jesus some sort of fairy tale or make-believe. And the message of the church is no, Jesus is Lord and there's nothing else. I will not compromise. It's about Jesus or it's about nothing. Jesus is the Lord. And by Lord, Kyrios, we mean the Lord. He is our master and he is where our allegiance is. Jesus is the Lord. These are the messages that are diametrically opposed. And the message of the church is empowered by the Spirit. And this is why we call this section and other sections, Romans chapter 12, we see some of this in Colossians or Ephesians. This is why they're called spiritual gifts, because the Spirit of God is doing this exact thing, this verse 3 thing. The Spirit of God through us and through the church throughout all of history confessing Jesus as Lord. And Paul will give some specifics here in verse 4 through 6. He'll give some ways in which the Lord has done that and is doing that. The Spirit speaking through God's people to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God is a God who speaks not only to us, but through us. And God gives us, the Lord gives us gifts in order to speak the truth, Jesus is Lord. Friends, may I tell you, if we use the giftings that God has given us for other purposes, we are misusing and misappropriating His gifts. Our gifts, our spiritual giftings of the Lord, they're given for a purpose. And that is that the Spirit might speak through us that Jesus is Lord. That's a big deal. Christian, as you know, that the Lord has made you. He has formed you in your innermost parts. He's made you and woven you together. He has done that in a special way. He has put you in circumstances in your life that are hard so that you proclaim Jesus Christ. And I can look at your faces. I know some of your struggles. I know them. And I want to say to you as compassionately but as truthfully as I can, we are walking through some of these circumstances so that we can be used by God and His Spirit to proclaim Jesus Christ. And as Jesus told us, Christianity is not about coming together and everything being right. That's the message that some TV preachers might tell you, but that's not the biblical message. The biblical message is we are God's servants and He will use us as He wishes for His glory. And life is hard. And we will suffer. But He has gifted us to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. So Christian, be strong and be courageous as we walk through these things, knowing that God has gifted us for the glory of Jesus Christ. And you might be in a situation that is great. You might have just won the playoff game to send your team to the Super Bowl. You might have just had a catastrophe in your family. Jesus Christ is Lord. and we can proclaim him in both instances. Do not forget that God is a God who speaks to you, and God is a God who speaks through you. We are his servants. Look in verse 4. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Oh, church, please don't buy the lie that God just wants to make you happy and comfortable. That is a lie. It's terrible. It's a lie. God wants to use you to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. You are not more special than the countless number of believers who have gone before you. We are the mouthpiece of God for his purpose. May we be faithful in that. Verse 4, here are some ways. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. The next two verses are going to focus on the unity. His job here is not to give us an exhaustive list of spiritual gifts. That's not his purpose here. So know that, church. This is not an exhaustive list of ways in which God might empower us or gift us. This is an instructive passage where Paul is teaching that no matter what the gift is that we have and we've been given by the Spirit of God, no matter what that is, it's for his glory and it's for the same purpose. It is one in spirit. Let's look at the passage. Now there are varieties of gifts. Yes, there are. But there's one what? One Spirit empowering them all. And it is God's Spirit in us. There are varieties of what? Service. That tells us, that word tells us a lot about spiritual gifts, doesn't it? What's it tell us? Y'all are smart. That the gifts of God are given to us for service. It's right there. But the same Lord. In other words, as we're all serving together, gifted by God, we're doing it in the name of the Lord and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are a variety of gifts, one Spirit, variety of service, one Lord. There are varieties of activities. But it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. So here it is, Christian. Some of us need to back up a little bit and evaluate our lives and say, am I living in the way that I need to be living? Because what Paul is telling the church at Corinth is a message that is very applicable to us, that the Lord has given gifts. The Lord has called us to service. The Lord has appointed activities for us to do for his glory, so that we can proclaim Jesus is Lord. And you can look back at verse 3. My main point to you and to us as a church this morning is that I believe Paul is teaching here. We as a body, by the Spirit of God, proclaim Jesus is Lord. That's verses 2 and 3. Verses 4 through 6. The way in which we proclaim in the Spirit and that God speaks to us, speaks through us by his Spirit, is verses 4 through 6 and 7. He has given us gifts. He has given us activities. He has given us service in order to proclaim Jesus is Lord. And then you look at verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for what? The common good. So there's your outline. We proclaim Jesus is Lord. We have gifts, activities, service that proclaim Jesus is Lord. And because we proclaim Jesus is Lord through these gifts, activities, and service, everyone benefits. This is the teaching of Paul. This is not new teaching. This is clear teaching. Our memory verse, I spoke of our basketball team earlier. Our memory verse for this week was Psalm 139, verse 14. And I'm going to read 13 through 15 for context. I want you to see that this is not a new message. It is very clear by Paul, and it is more clear and more direct, which we see the progressive revelation working out in Scripture. New Testament brings clarity to Old Testament truths. Here's the Old Testament truth, and then we see how Paul has brought clarity to it. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Who made you? God made me. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. How beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? The weaving together, the knitting, the illustration there. That God is designing and creating you. And Paul brings a level of clarity to that to help us. God has made us. He has knit us and formed us and fashioned us together in a way in which we can accomplish a purpose, proclaiming Jesus is Lord. Gentlemen, how many of you have spent in your life more than $500 on tools? Let me see some hands. We have like three honest people in here. Yes, you know all of your hands are up. How many of you have gone to your wife and said at some point, you know, I'd really like to have this because it would make this job easier. I can do the job just right if I have this. And maybe for some of you, it's that boat. I can catch the right fish if I have this boat with this motor. Or this rod and reel. Or this laser scope X9000 clay, wherever you are. I can do what I need to do if I have this tool. Ladies, you know. Pampered Chef's never going out of business because of you. This special spoon with a super duper claw and hidden what's-a-ma-doodle will get it all done for me. Just right. The right tool makes the job so much easier. Oh, church, we are the Lord's toolbox. I carry tools around all the time in my Jeep. Wherever I go, I have two toolboxes. And some tools I've used once or twice. But I carry them around. Because you know what? Y'all know why. I'll need it at some point. So it stays in my toolbox. I don't use it every day. But when I need it, that's the one I need. Oh, church, you may not feel like you're used every day for great purposes. You may not even feel like you're used much at all. We are God's toolbox. He has designed and fashioned us for His purpose. He has gifted us in special ways for His purpose. It is not the tool's job to eject ourselves from the toolbox so that we can stay pretty, clean, and comfortable. You don't buy sandpaper to keep sandpaper clean. You don't buy a drill to keep it looking like you could sell it for what you bought it. You don't buy that spoon with the secret whatchamadoodle on it to hang it on your wall. Steve Martin's not here. He had to leave out, but he told me this. Bought a stool from him. And he said, next time I come to your house, I better see that stool with dents and dings. I don't want to see it just like I'm giving it to you today. I thought, that's a wise man. Friends, we're going to walk through life and we're going to have dents and dings on us. We're going to be broken. But the Lord wants to speak to a world that doesn't know the specifics of Jesus Christ through you and through me. That's why He's gifted us. He is not silent. We are the Ann Sullivans to communicate what the Lord has given to us specifically in His Word and proclaim it to people who do not know. And I'm not talking about, there are millions of people in America, in the state of Louisiana, who do not know, as well as the entire world. We are the tools. We are the Ann Sullivans. We must communicate, take the message from God Himself that is revealed to us in Jesus Christ and proclaim that message. These are the spiritual gifts that God has given us. Next week, we will begin to look through in specific some of these gifts. We'll look at the way in which the Lord communicates and speaks to others. But this morning, I want us to really understand so that we're not ignorant, so that we're not uninformed. The purpose of the gifts of God are to empower and enable His people to fulfill their purpose as messengers of God. Paul calls us ambassadors multiple times. And he calls the church at Corinth in his second book, chapter 5, ambassadors. You are ambassadors. God is not silent. The Lord is not silent. We are His mouthpiece. So here's my challenge in practical outlay. Here's the challenge for us. Some of us need to consider how we can be the Lord's mouthpiece in a daily, in a weekly fashion. Some of us need to step up our intensity in ministry. Some of us need to lower the amount of time in entertainment and need to invest some of that time into ministry, into proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So for some of you, that might look like full-time Christian service. I don't know. For some of you, that might look like just waking up a little bit in your day and being more wise with the time we're given. Making a phone call or setting yourself to make phone calls or being a part of men's ministry, ladies' ministry, Awana ministry, youth ministry. I don't know what it looks like for you, but we need to know that you're a tool. You're not just a shiny thing to hang on the wall. We are instruments of God, prepared to do good works that He has prepared for us in advance to do, Ephesians 2. Instruments. Practically. Some of us, we might need to consider how has the Lord equipped us or built us or made us to proclaim Jesus, not only here, but other places. Worldwide. Maybe God has called you to be a missionary or to give your life to Christian service somewhere else. Maybe the Lord has called you to write. And you need to begin writing so that you can share with others what you've written that will glorify Jesus Christ. Some of you need to write some more songs that proclaim Jesus Christ. Some of you need to plug in and do what you're doing at this church and help in maintenance of this church behind the scenes. Some of us need to begin to prepare to be teachers in the church. We need good teachers, people that know the Word of God, and that we're teaching each other. I don't know how you are gifted. I know many ways in which many of you are gifted. But here's what I do know. We are a toolbox. This room is a toolbox full of tools. It would be a great tragedy for us to sit in a toolbox our entire Christian lives and not invest ourselves into being used as instruments and ambassadors for the Lord to speak and speak clearly to a lost and dying world. Therefore, I want you to understand, says verse 3, that no one speaks in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Church, will we say Jesus is Lord? Will we allow the Spirit to use us to proclaim Jesus is Lord? Let's pray together. Oh, Father, help us this morning. Use us as your instruments. Make us available. Lord, we pray in the great name of Jesus. Amen. If you have not come to a place in which you have come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord, I'd like to share with you the truth of who Jesus Christ is. He is the Savior and Lord, and He's come to reconcile you and the Lord. If you've never come to that place where you have not surrendered, where you surrendered your life to Him to be reconciled unto Him, let's talk about it. Let's talk through what that is. I'd love to speak with you. Jesus is the Lord. He's calling you to be saved and to be used. If you need to do that, you respond right now. And you bow on your knees and you say, Jesus, forgive me, save me, use me. And you come right now.